The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get into the NFL, Danny. Tush Push Week in the National Football League. Ian Rappaport of NFL Media and NFL Network on the possibility of something actually happening. Remember, this has come up now three straight off seasons. Last year, we thought there would be a change. There was a big nothing burger with cheese. This offseason, it came up about a month and a half ago at the last meetings, and they just kicked the can down the road. So this is that time now.
Yeah, so they tabled it, which made me feel like, yeah, there's not much momentum for it. They'll discuss it, but it's not going anywhere. But it sounds like that may not be the case.
There's always that one last opportunity at these meetings here in May. Tuesday and Wednesday, it's on the docket. This was Rap Sheet today on NFL Network.
I would say my educated guess is there is a change to the Tush Push. Now, right now, the language has been, I believe, not changed. But I would expect come Tuesday morning or whenever they first kind of introduce things, maybe Tuesday afternoon, there'll probably be some new language aimed at eliminating any player from pushing or pulling another player. Like, not specific to this play, because I'm not sure the league wants to specifically ban this play. It'd be probably more the mechanism that is used in this play. In other words, like Saquon and Goddard and players like that pushing other players. So to me, it feels like there's probably movement there. I think that makes sense, and we'll see where it shakes out on Wednesday.
So that was actually Ian Rappaport on Pat McAfee's show on ESPN this afternoon. So here's what I get out of that. Will they ban the Tush Push? It doesn't sound like they're going to. But what they want to get rid of in the Tush Push is the guys that come up from behind Jalen Hurts and shove him like it's rugby. So they now it's just effectively a quarterback sneak where you're doing the blocking up front a little bit differently. Quarterback sneak typically looks one way. The Tush Push is we're diving basically like we're drilling into the ground to get lower. So it kind of just becomes a quarterback sneak at that point if you're not shoving like a rugby scrum. And if you get rid of the pushing or the pulling, you go back to the old rule, then I think that's the closest thing to meeting everybody in the middle as possible, where you're not going to completely get rid of the play, but the play as it's currently constituted will be no more.
Yeah, this is the Danny Ruye rule. This is how I get around the you're just targeting the Eagles or whatever. I don't like the idea that a runner is trying to run on his own and someone can just pick him up, a lineman can just carry him, or there's a pile up of bodies and here comes somebody 330 pounds with a head full of steam and, you know, spearing somebody, knocking someone forward. No, you do not aid the ball carrier. I love that. That's the rule that it should be. And so here's the other part of this. This is the thing that everybody always forgets when it comes to it. It's not as if no short yardage situation has ever been gained before the Tush Push. This is my biggest problem. It depends on the year, but anywhere between 80 and 90% of quarterback sneaks work. That's what the data tells you.
It's a wildly successful play.
I bet you Jalen Hurts, who squats 1 million pounds and the best offensive line in the sport, I bet you they'll still pick up some first downs without cheating. I think you'll be just fine. Get all the first downs you want. If it's fourth and a foot, if I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm still going for it. I've got Jalen Hurts. Do the quarterback sneak like everyone else has to do. No more, you know, pushing people from behind and running up and getting momentum. You just convert it like everyone else has had to do at a hugely successful clip.
Well, the only thing I would say is nobody's had to do it that way because they could have legally done it the way the Eagles have done it as well. I mean, that's legal and allowed currently. It wouldn't be if they changed this rule back to the old ways and now you can't push or pull. But teams have started doing the Tush Push, by the way. There are plenty of them that aren't the Eagles that do the Tush Push constantly. The Bills did it, although they don't really need to with Josh Allen
size.
Yeah,
he's a freight train.
But even some of the teams that have come out and said they want it banned started doing it at the end of last year. Green Bay is adamantly against it. They used it toward the end of the season because I think most teams wised up to, well, it's a, and the numbers are out there. I don't have them in front of me. But to your point, the quarterback sneak over 20 years, let's say, is in the low 80% success. The Tush Push is in the low to mid 90s.
Yeah.
So you're just taking a very successful play and you're making it more foolproof, which is what you should do.
Right. If it's available, do it.
Absolutely game the system and do whatever you can at your disposal. When you're allowed to shift your infield to best position them, to have a bunch of guys on one side of the field for the Deadpool hitter, you should do that until the sport says, you're ruining everything. We're not allowing you to do that anymore. You can't go on the other side of second base if you're, you know, the second baseman. And now you can't do it. And that's what the league's going to do is basically, it sounds like, I guess we don't know for sure, but the thought is that the vote will go down so that the the tush push basically becomes a de facto quarterback sneak. I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of detractors around the league, because we saw more and more coaches, more and more executives come out against it this offseason, and some players have even now come out against it, including Frankie Louvu of the Washington Commanders. He was on NFL Network today on Good Morning Football. You'll remember Louvu was the guy who kept jumping over the top of the line of scrimmage and over the offensive line of the Eagles on the goal line, to the point where officials told him, if you keep doing this, we're just going to award them a touchdown because you're not allowing them to run a play. Louvu was just over it. And he was asked publicly today what he thinks of the tush push.
My personal opinion, I think they should ban it. You know what I mean? But I know the argument is going to be about like, hey, you guys have to stop it. Don't get us in short yardage and whatnot. But yeah. It's kind of like a Chico play, man. You got Jordan Mailata on the right. You got, it's pretty much a scrum in rugby. That's how I kind of look at it. And we got to have a scrum too on the other side. And the scrum is, we have a cadence where we all go at once. It's not like you hard count or and this and that, where, now you're getting us or myself jumping over the pile thinking that they're about to snap the ball. And that's just my own personal opinion, and I'm going to leave it at that.
He said cheapo play, which I like. Mm-hmm. And it feels cheap. It's so hard to defend. I didn't have an issue with them doing it while it's legal. But if you're asking me, is the play in the spirit of the NFL? No, it does. He's right. Look more like a scrum in rugby, which people have said for a long time. Now, he didn't necessarily explain why he thinks it's cheap. I take his answer to mean it's too hard to stop. And I've never really liked that argument. If he would have gone a step further and said, you shouldn't be able to shove a player from behind right at me, or if he would have said, hey, it's too easy to get hurt the way that they're diving headfirst down at people's ankles and knees. We've had guys get hurt. John Allen, you'll remember, getting the massage of different players in the playoffs. We saw, I think it was Chris Jones in the Super Bowl, was getting his neck rubbed after one of those. Say that. He didn't say that, though. He just said, I don't really like it. They got my lot of there. And I took that to mean, we can't stop that play without me going over the top, and you don't want me going over the top.
Yeah. I don't like that line of thinking like it's too hard to stop that as a reason to get rid of something. Is baseball going to ban 100-mile-an-hour fastballs because they're too hard to hit? I don't like that precedent. But to me, there's plenty of argument. You just laid some of them out where you're mad at me for trying. Like, that whole sequence to me should be the embarrassment that the league goes, okay, we can't do this anymore. That if you don't stop acting this way, I'll send you to your room and give them a touchdown.
You're talking about the NFC title game.
In that title game. That sequence.
Diving over the line.
That sequence should have caused cringeworthy embarrassment for the league. Because what you're basically saying is the players have an obligation to try to stop the play in any means necessary. If you're going to allow this kind of mechanism for the offense to do these things that shouldn't be allowed, in my opinion, then please allow the defense to do whatever they have to do.
And this is his point.
Make that point. But again, where it's like, man, they got Mailata, he's big. And then they got Lane Johnson, who's big. I don't want to hear that.
I think what he was suggesting, and he just didn't verbalize it that well, and it might be because I think he knows there's no winning when you're answering this as a guy who got blown out by the Eagles and the dude who jumped over the line in the NFC title game and was told you were going to get sent to your room by the officials. You just look like you're making excuses.
It looks like sour grapes.
Exactly. So maybe he was just not trying to elaborate, but I think what he would say if he had the time and felt comfortable doing it based on what I heard from his answer there is, if they get to do that, then we need to be able to do some of our own things. Mm-hmm. This was that embarrassing moment from the NFC Championship game where he just kept jumping over the top. And then none of us had ever heard of this before, but the ref said, we're just going to give them points if you don't stop.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cam Jurgens could probably just move it forward 3 inches and be in.
I mean, Washington's got nothing to lose with those offsides at this point. Oh, my God.
Mike, how close can they put this ball to the goal line at this point?
Well, interestingly enough, you got a situation here. If these are deliberate, and you heard Sean Hockley say that it could lead to an unsportsmanlike conduct call, it could also lead to awarding a score if it happens multiple times like this. So We'll hear what Sean has to say.
Encroachment, defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again.
By the way, was Mike Pereira on it or what?
Yeah, how about that?
Because you have Tom Brady in the booth going, well, they could just do this all day. They've got nothing to lose. Wrong. And then Pereira, it's almost like having a referee in the booth is worth it. Says, you know, they could just award them points. Let's hear what he has to say. We're about to award them points. Pereira.
Yeah, tip of the cap to Pereira.
Earning his paycheck there in the booth.
The idea that it was deliberate, not the act of getting offsides. If that happens, of course it's deliberate. The act of trying to stop the play, that's not legit. You know, see what I'm saying? Like, there's a huge distinction there, but the NFL's like, we don't know. That can't happen again.
Let's open up the listener lines on this, because we've talked about this over the last year a few different times, but this is actually a slightly different angle here. With Rap Sheet saying today that what he's hearing is they're not going to ban the tush push, but they are going to get rid of, maybe, the ability to push a player from behind forward toward the goal line. And if that's the case, doesn't that fix this issue? Do you think that is the right way to handle this for the NFL?
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.